From the Stereo Sound Records Studios, your home for the best in unsigned and indie punk, rock, and metal. This is The Mosh Pit with your host, Wes Everett.
My next guest on the Mosh Pit podcast is Lee Christian from Quick Fix Recordings. He comes in, we chat a little bit about his label, the music, the bands that he represents, the music that we both listen to and enjoy. We jump right into this one. Kick back, enjoy this.
Shoegazers, dream state, I'm vanishing.
Cool. Man, well, you know, we've discussed a lot already off air, but it's cool because I really want to learn and know more about your label, Quick Fix Recordings. So you guys kind of offer everything from rock, punk, pop, electronic, jazz, you know, give us
I don't think we've got any jazz yet. That'd not be jazz. Really nice. But I'd really love that. That's on the, I have like a Miles Davis collection, which is like that thick. So, you know, nice. and stuff like that. And I'm into like a lot of, like, especially the more technical, like kind of jazzy rock, like mm-hmm. that kind of, I love like Living Colour, but then also I have all of Vernon Reid's solo albums and, you know, I'm kind of really into, I don't know, even, is it like Polyphia and stuff like that? And like, Corey Wong and people who are kind of like kind of playing like the kind of newer artists who are playing like quite technical, quite technically proficient stuff, but somehow seem to be popular as well, which is like kind of mind-blowing to me in a way, you know. But I'd be up for something like that. But yeah, we're really just trying to treat our audience. I feel like the audience listens to a lot of different things, and there's no need to treat them like an idiot in any way. Like, I feel like, you know, a lot of people listen to tons of different music, and they don't really, if we've ever been in a time where they didn't really care about anything apart from whether they like the tune, I think it's probably now, because they can look, you know, a band can look like anything, be any age, or they can be whatever, but they don't even know until they've heard the song on a playlist first or whatever. Do you know what I mean? So in a way, it can be from any year as well. Like, you could put out, now you can still, my band Smilex, which hasn't put out a record in 10 years, still picks up more listeners now as a result of just kind of having social media out there, being on Spotify and getting occasionally added to a playlist, or someone coming across it and going, actually, this is decent stuff. Do you know what I mean? So I think we're just trying to be a bit more like, provide a bit of everything, but like, hopefully, I would like think like the best of those things. So like, you know, if we put out a noise rock, you know, grungy punky band, it's going to be a really good one, like TV Sex Death. And if we're putting out like a electronic kind of like, I guess they're kind of electropunk by way of them being a bit political or whatever, but Sexy Wild East are like hitting the nail on the head for me. Do you know what I mean? They've got the tunes and the kind of angry attitude along with it or whatever. And not always angry, but yeah, quite positive actually. But yeah, likewise, Blackout Orchestra, if you like your kind of indie singer-songwritery kind of stuff, anywhere between Smashing Pumpkins and like Sparkle Horse, or do you know what I mean? Like, then I think it, or Flaming Lips or something, like it hits that nail on that head and does it really, really well. So I don't, as I was saying to you before we went online, went on air, I don't need like another band of that really, because I'm looking for what, one that's either better or worse. I don't really think like that. I've already found my one that I really love, and I just want to push that. You know, we've got an Oxford dream pop kind of indie pop band called Days, and they do it really well. They do what they do really well, and I really like their version of it. You know, like in any movement of music that we've had, I would say I have my favorites, and I have other things that I really don't care for. You know, there's a lot of difference between Pearl Jam and Creed. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And so, and where I've got everything by Pearl Jam, I have nothing by Creed. Do you know what I mean? So, and some people would say, oh, that's the same music. It's like, not my ears, you know? So, I don't really believe in like the genre thing so much. And we've put out some hip hop stuff, and we've got a lady who used to be in the Bell Stars called Jenny Mathias, and she's got like, her stuff is done with the Oni Sound Lot, which is like all dub and kind of reggae stars and everything. An amazing producer, Adrian Sherwood and stuff, who's done like loads of, you know, Lee Perry records and Horace Andy and, you know, African Head Charge and stuff. So really not, it's more about finding the people who are doing it the best really. And then I've got a nice broad collection of artists that you can come to, and you're not going to get the same thing over and over again. You're going to like be exposed to different things. When I grew up in the 90s, we were going to like festivals where we'd have Björk and Ice-T and Foo Fighters and Guru's Jazzmatazz, or do you know what I mean? Like, just such a broad, Maxwell, or, you know, like such a broad range of music. And by wandering around the tents, I kind of feel like that's what Quick Fix is. It's like a wander around a festival. You don't catch everything, but you catch like really good examples of these different things. And hopefully they're not too fixed in genre that it's that predictable anyway. Really, I always think that's quite a boring thing to be.
Yeah.
You know, like all credit to AC/DC, but once you've got that Iron Man 2 soundtrack, you've got everything you really need from them. You don't need to go album upon album upon album upon album, because it gets a bit repetitive after a while, doesn't it?
Whereas, they were the master of the power chords, weren't they?
Yeah, but like they kind of just did that. You know, it's like once you know, I mean, don't get me wrong, Thunderstruck used to be one of our jams when I was a teenager. And, you know, if I take over I'd always take over, you know, whatever we were playing music on, whether tape, CD. It's just as the age of CD was just coming in, really. And yeah, I'd always take over, and that would be something I could put on and the whole room would go crazy, like Thunderstruck. You know what I mean? Oh, yeah. So I'm not, it's not a diss, but once you've got a certain amount of that stuff, you're kind of wondering if they have anything else in the thing.
Mm-hmm.
In the
oh yeah.
Did you ever want to do anything else but this? Do you know what I mean? So
Doc City Mirrors.
Yeah. See, that's one of those things. Like, I'm a huge AC/DC fan, I always have been. Yeah. And, you know, I wonder if they would have been as big with Bond as they are with,
well, yeah, probably. Johnson. Well, I mean, I think they hit a thing where they knew what they could do, and that works on mm-hmm. a regular basis. And the less, you know, there's a point after which the Stones just kind of, they just lock into this thing that they do. Even the Chili Peppers, to a degree,
yeah.
You know, after like Californication onwards, it's kind of the same band, but it's not the same band as the one before.
Mm-hmm.
you know, like, which is kind of my era. Although I do love this new, the Return of the Dream Canteen. For some reason, it's hit me like, oh, I think I like almost this whole album, which is the first time I've said that about like the Chili's in a long time. It's always been like, I like about half of it.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Well, I'll be honest, when Black Summer, when it first hit radio, and I was like, I was flipping through the stations and I just kind of caught a little bit of it. And I'm like, is that Jethro Tull? Did Jethro Tull release a new album?
Yeah, he's got the strange. I can't tell whether it's an Irish voice or what he's doing on that one. The album I meant is actually the one that, because I didn't like that Unlimited Love album at all, and I was a bit like, then they announced another one, and I was like, geez, that's the last thing anybody needs, really. And like, we've had enough already. Like, you did 18 songs on the last one, and I might have liked like three or something. Do you know what I mean? And so I wasn't looking forward to a new album at all. And I listened to it out of a sense of duty. And and then I was like, oh, actually, I kind of really like this. And I can't even tell you why. It just, I think they just warmed me down. Like, do you know what I mean? But like, by contrast, like the Smashing Pumpkins, I've stopped even listening when they put out a new record now.
Yeah.
Because I'm just tired of being let down so much. Do you know what I mean? And I used to be a fully paid up buy it on the day member, you know.
Oh yeah.
All these bands, you know, I remember clearly going in and buying Vitalogy on the day it came out on vinyl, which was a week earlier than it came out on CD, because I was like, I've got to have, like, I loved Verses like so much. It was just like nothing could be more exciting than the new Pearl Jam album. And that's what I meant about, you know, now that we were talking before we started recording about Pearl Jam and, you know, hearing things for the first time on streaming and how much of a, I don't know, it's just not exciting. It's just not, it's not as thrilling as the old way was. The old way built fandom better.
Yeah.
It had a vested interest. And I don't know whether that's because of, you know, looking through the artwork with the lyrics, or whether it's just because of the investment that you paid into the CD when you didn't have as much money. So you're like, even if I don't like this first, I'm going to listen to it like at least five times and learn to love it, God damn it, because it cost me the money. And some of those end up being your favorite albums. I remember I got Pigeonhead album, which is Sean Smith from Brad and Satchel and stuff. And it's like his electronic thing. And I read one review in The Enemy or The Melody Maker or something at the time. And it said, you know, he's like, you know, it's the dude from Brad, and he's doing this like funky thing, which is kind of Prince-like. And I was like, sold. And I went to my indie record store and I bought it on import, and it was like £16.99 or something, like pounds, which is like, what, $20 at a good, on a good day? It might be $25 on a bad, do you know what I mean? And it turned out to be one of my favorite albums of all time. Sean Smith is one of my favorite artists of all time, but it was just as well. And there's been other examples where I paid that kind of money and I've been like, oh, I only listened to it twice or whatever. So, but you'd never buy the next one. And that's what's weird about like the olden days, is when you look at like hit albums, a lot of the time they're the follow-up to the actual best album, because the one that sold everybody is the one that people were slow to grab onto. And then the next one that came out, everybody went and bought thinking it would be amazing. And then it might be a number one, but it might be one of that was in the charity shops like the next, you know, the next week. I saw a copy of Sam Smith's new album in a charity shop last week on February 14th. I was in a charity shop and I saw the Sam Smith album already in there. It's like, wow.
Well, I mean, we're at a time now where, I mean, TikTok is huge and it's what, 30-second clips. We as a generation, as a whole, we have ADD at this point.
Oh yeah. Like I think it's way beyond that. I think it turned into goldfish.
Yeah.
We're one swim around the bowl and we've already forgotten. Do you know what I mean? I think there's a pushback to that. I think there is an alternative culture building up underground and underneath the surface of people who do actually still want their artists to make good albums and, you know, and kind of getting back into the idea of things being less produced and more, you know, more and people actually playing instruments, actually singing for real without like a lot of processing or pitch correcting or auto-tune or whatever else. And I'm not dissing any of these things. They're all fine in their own dose or whatever, and also for their own market. I think also there was a horrible confusion that happened a while back where people started giving a lot of credibility to a lot of factory-made produce and kind of treating it as if it's a homegrown produce. And it's like, well, you don't need to confuse the two. I'm not saying you can't have, if you want to go and buy McDonald's, then that's up to you. But you can't say it's the same as a as a really nice burger from a, you know, from a place that's cooked it all up with the home produce. It's not that you can't say they're of the same worth. One is this flimsy, floppy thing that, you know, was mass produced for you. And the other thing is something that might keep you going for a day. Do you know what I mean? Or whatever. So yeah, I just think there's we've given a bit too much credibility to some of that other stuff. So I think, you know, maybe the kids are cynical enough that they'll, you know, that they'll be like, nah, that sucks actually. Yeah. And also it hasn't really grown on. Like the people we're talking about nowadays are still the same people we were talking about like 10, 15 years ago. It's all Beyonce and Rihanna and Adele and Taylor Swift. And these are like, these artists are old now. Back in my day, the turnaround was way quicker. You like Prince only managed to sustain a 10-year peak popularity thing. Same with Bowie, you know, like they were, you had like your 10 years at best. You know, you were lucky if you got, you were a genius if you got a 10-year career of being at the top. And most things would turn over within 3 to 5 years, you know. And we've been going on with the same old junk for like ages. And surely, you know, kids must go, "Poh, really? I want something new." Do you know what I mean?
But I mean, you know, you were talking about how bands gravitate to that one sound and they stick to it from there on out. And prime example, and I'm a fan, don't get me wrong, I am a fan, but Nickelback did that.
Smile X, Wasted Youth.
She says she likes it when she smells me. Making babies when I get out of school. She swears protection's not necessary. She seems to like living dangerously. Well, she says you're a rock star. My heart on the sole of her shoe. What's a girl to do? I lost my time with. We'll be right back.
Yeah, I can't even go that, like, because for me, so I'm like so fussy when it comes to rock. Uh-huh. That, like, because I grew up on, like, literally Nirvana. People would, like, say Stone Temple Pilots were, like, almost like fakers or whatever. And, yeah, like, and I was into, like, I'm hugely into Stone Temple Pilots, especially, like, Scott Weiland era. And, yeah, I would, like, fight their case or whatever for, like, no, they're not artificial or whatever. But then, to me, like, Green Day seemed like they had a bit too many hooks. And then by the time, like, Blink-182 came along, it's like, way too many hooks. They're a pop band. You might as well be listening to Backstreet Boys, you know. And now my girlfriend would kill me because she's a big Blink fan and a massive Green Day fan. And now, by comparison, they sound like real rock bands. Do you know what I mean? But from where I was coming, like, if you wanted to go more alternative, if you went into, like, I don't know, noisy stuff like Sonic Youth or...
Yeah.
Big Black or Shellac or Fugazi, or, like, you started getting deeper. I got into, like, Rollins loads. Do you know what I mean? And, like, and yeah. And likewise, if you were into, you know, like, I don't know, like, funk, then you'd go backwards. You'd go into George Clinton and Funkadelic. And, you know, and instead now it feels a bit like, so yeah. So even everything in that last wave, like, I can get down with a little bit of Limp Bizkit. Seem to get away with it. They seem to know what they're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
So they don't really try much more than that. And through that, they kind of win somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Because they can come back and they don't seem to have changed in a bad way.
And they didn't overstay their welcome during that first bit. They had their hits and
maybe. They went adios. I don't know if they meant to go adios. Yeah. I think they just luckily, yeah, I don't know. I liked Korn for the first, like, five albums, certainly. And then after that, it's kind of diminishing returns. Deftones, I love, and I'll always love them. But, like, the Chi Cheng era is, like, the prime stuff for me. After that, they kind of got a bit more of a uniform sound. Mm-hmm. That they've kind of plowed away, which is really heavy, and I really like it. And I'd rather they were doing it than not doing it every single time. But and I'll still buy their albums on the day they come out. But yeah, I think, like, but beyond that, I think I've given up on, like, loads of rock music, like, and anything that came along after that seemed like it was even vaguely trying to cash in on, you know, the things that I'd love. Never even given them time of day. I literally can honestly say that the only Nickelback I've ever heard has been on either the radio or when they had one of their songs was the theme to WWE for a little while. And so I heard it every Monday Night Raw.
Yep.
Heard it or something, you know?
Yep.
I can't remember if it was Raw or SmackDown, but it was...
No, yeah, it was Raw. It was Burn It to the Ground.
Was it? Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. So I heard that every Monday for like a long time, for a few years.
Yeah, and see, even going to the wrestling thing, that's where I found a lot of underground music, because there for a while they were using like unheard, not quite unheard of bands, but lower bands.
And I was a lot of rock. Stuff's good. Yeah, and rock as well. Yeah. It went a bit like at some point, I remember when the first pay-per-view, it had that song, Born a Champion. I was like, things have changed, haven't they?
Yep.
I went into this old, the hybrid R&B era of wrestling now. It was almost like wrestling's always like so many years behind everything else.
Yeah.
So it was almost a shame when they caught up. You know, it's like, don't be in any hurry to catch up. That's fine. One of my very good friends and collaborators actually played at WrestleMania for Bray Wyatt's entrance. He was like in the band that played, and he was he quit music, and a few years later someone who he knew asked him to come and do it, and it's like, it's amazing. I played to more people to music, and also I wasn't playing live. Do you know what I mean?
So, yep. That's awesome. That is awesome.
It's pretty crazy, you know?
Yeah.
I was miming to millions.
And speaking of bands that I really thought would be bigger, that I thought would last longer, would be Power Man 5000, because their album was killer, right, with Bombshell and Worlds Collide, and I think there was two more that came out of that same one, which WWE also used for entrance music and pay-per-view stuff, but they never quite captured their full essence, I don't feel.
Yeah, it's interesting with America because you've got such a huge territory there. Yeah. Like, I think you can be in like one of the bands that doesn't get as big, and still sell a like a shitload of records. Mm-hmm. Like, you're, you know, like you could just call out a name, like, I don't know, like Glass. I'm not the Glass Jaw, but a Taproot, or yeah, you know, Head PE, or something like that. All sold like enough records that they probably don't need to, you know, like they probably bought a house each. Do you know what, yeah, I mean? Like, yeah, at least.
Oh yeah,
and so maybe Trapped, that's enough sometimes.
Yeah, and especially when Trapped dropped there.
Right, sorry.
Trapped. Do you remember them? Who've kind of screwed themselves on Twitter? We won't talk about that.
Oh, I don't know that.
Headstrong, they had, oh, right, one song. Yeah, they had, know, one song.
Right, okay, yeah. Yeah, so they'll have made, so they'll have all, you know, probably bought a house off the back of it. So, yeah, so in a way, it's like, maybe that time is enough, mm-hmm, like that they're actually around. Like, so maybe it doesn't really, you know, the label don't really care if it goes much further, and they kind of maybe get a bit complacent about their career. I don't know, you know, I wouldn't like to speak for anybody because they might be like, no, we really still want to be, you know, doing it or whatever. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah. But I think also people have moved into, you know, like the world, the business has become quite corporate now. And maybe that doesn't sit so well with a lot of bands as well, yeah, because the original reason you got into a rock band was to say, like, fuck the man, not, mm-hmm, thank you, Amazon. Thanks, Amazon, for this award. Do you know what I mean? There's nothing really very rebellious, and you know, yeah, it would be hard for Rage Against the Machine to be a band now in the way that, you know, bands, mm-hmm, used to be, because there's all the mechanism, all the, you know, yeah, everything, the machine around them, for want of a better description, around them is so corporately, you know, mm-hmm, hooked up that it'd be impossible for them to do it and not be hypocrites.
Yeah,
you know,
well, so, I mean, you look at it now and the things that used to be considered selling out.
Yes.
That's, yeah, exactly, how you make it now.
Exactly. Nowadays, you make so little through streaming. If you don't sell your music to be in a movie or an advert or something,
yep,
then, you know, and if you got that offer, you'd be an idiot to turn it down. Do you know what I mean? Because,
oh, yeah,
how else are you going to make it? But, mm-hmm, then you are compromising, aren't you? And we used to like laugh at like bands like, I don't know, I don't know whether they're big hits in that side of the pond or whether you even remember, but a band called Stilt Skin and a band called Babylon Zoo, they, mm-hmm, had like big hits like off the back of Gene, yep, commercials. Do you, yep, know what I mean? And Reef, their first song was on a ad for like, I think it was Sony Mini Disc or Sony, yeah, like something like that. And you know, so these bands, you know, we used to kind of laugh at them a bit, yeah, like, oh, they're not quite real bands, are they?
Oh, that's, you know, a corporate machine, like, right there.
Yeah, yeah. And now, how would you level that at any band? Like, they're just trying to live. They're just trying to eat. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Keep the van running from gig to gig. Do you know what I mean? So, because it's petrol's going up at a lot faster rate than streaming royalties. I can tell you that much.
Yes, do you know what I mean?
In that way, that's, you know, when it comes to our label, we're really not trying to, I mean, we'll try and get our stuff placed in, you know, movies, or if it's the right advert for the right artist or whatever, then that's fine. I mean, I personally would, there's a couple of chocolate brands that I'd be quite happy to, as long as they sent me a lot of chocolate as well, do you know what I mean? Then I'd, yep, be fine with it. But yeah, I don't know. It's one of those things where it has to feel like, to me, at least, it has to feel like it's rebellious. Otherwise, mm-hmm, like, kind of not that interested. It just doesn't really, yeah, doesn't really hit a spot for me. I don't feel like it's necessary in this world either. If you want to listen to unrebellious music, you can go a million other places. Yep. You know what I mean? But hopefully, if you want to hear something that's got a mix of something to say with, you know, I don't mean in a kind of like really aggressive, mm-hmm, you know, kind of aggressive politics, although some bands might well have some aggressive politics in there. I like to allow everybody their freedom of speech as well. But I think, you know, if you want to hear something that's kind of more aimed at those corporate bad guys, then you're probably going to find that kind of thing on my label. At least I feel so anyway, you know, someone else might, yeah, say it's it's nothing compared to this band that, you know, do this or whatever. And it's like, yeah, but we also don't, I don't think any of our bands like wear it as their one bad, their unique selling point. Mm-hmm. It's just one of the many emotions that, you know, I always think, you know, like you should write about whatever you want to write about. And that shouldn't necessarily, if that ends up being something political or it ends up being a love song or it ends up being whatever else, yep. Just as long as it's honest and it's done well, I don't really care. But yeah, but that kind of the lack of edge in like a lot of stuff really just makes me switch off. I just don't.
Neil Howell, The Cruelest Month.
doesn't even catch on to me, you know. So yeah.
Oh yeah, definitely. Well, man, dude, I appreciate you sitting in on this. I've really enjoyed picking your brain, talking music, learning more about
your
label. Yeah,
I really appreciate the support. Yeah, I mean, it's, as I said, it's, you know, people like you are kind of like the only way that we're kind of getting out there, really, you know. So thank goodness for things like yours, you know, like podcasts and stations and DJs and, you know, journalists and, you know, bloggers, who, you know, all the independent things that are springing up. I think they're the sign that, you know, there's still life in the old dog yet, if you know what I mean. There's still,
oh yeah,
there's proper people enthused about real music and everything. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And that was one reason I started the label, or the, I had the idea of a label at one point, but I decided to segue to the podcast and just do it from there. Yeah. And that was to promote others, the bands that are coming up, the ones that don't get that radio play because they don't have that kind of money, the ones that are trying to get out there. And that's, you know, that's what we do here. So,
yeah, well, it's super, super valuable. So long may it continue. Right? And yeah, thanks for having me on. And yeah, just all I'd say to everybody is just go and check out, not just us, but check out indie music in general. Like, you know, like, you're not really getting sold the best stuff if you're waiting for some big corporate fat cat to finally find out it's cool. Do you know what I mean? They're always going to be late on the game anyway. Do you know what I mean? So, but particularly if they want to check out anything from Quick Fix, if they could go to www.quickfixrecordings.com, and there's like a little playlist of like a load of our recent or even old release, just a little taster of everything that's on the label. And hopefully they'll find something they like, and that'll lead to something else. And we've got a Bandcamp if they actually want to go and download stuff, which is quickfixrecordings.bandcamp.com. And yeah, just you know, thanks very much in advance for checking it out is what I'd say, you know.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I think the best thing that anybody's ever said is your favorite band was once a garage band. So
yeah, exactly. I mean, exactly. Yeah.
And gotta start somewhere.
Sooner we get back to supporting those guys, the sooner we'll probably see some decent music out there, I think.
Yep. Exactly.
That's how I got started in this anyway. So, you know.
Yeah.
Awesome, man. Thanks very much.
Thank you. And dude, I'd love to catch up with you again. Maybe do another one of these some 6 months or so, just to see what's going on, what's new.
Yeah, wicked. Well, yeah, we've got plenty coming up. We're like, I'm booking a stage at a festival this summer, a free festival in Oxfordshire. So that'll be 2 days of, you know, really good music just across those days and free. And we've got tons of releases coming out over the next little while. TV Sex Death album and Days EP. I've got my own album coming out. Singles from and remix stuff from Blackout Orchestra and Sex Wild East, and new stuff from Jenny Matthias, which is going to be mind blowing. And yeah, it's loads of stuff going on and we never stop. So check in with us regularly, and I'll send you as many bands as I can.
That works for me, man. Anything that you want to promote, hit us up on all the socials. We will help share it, tag it, move it out there for more people to see too. So
wicked. That's so appreciated. Thank you very much.
Thank you, buddy.
Awesome. Great chatting with you.
You too, man. Right. Talk to you soon.
Yeah, wicked. Take care, buddy.
Later. Have a good one.
Dusty Grant, Thinking Further. I've got an idea. I'm flashing it.